Get the
Can
thing.
I see your license, sir?
What?
Your license. Where's your license?
My license. It's on the bumper, man, back there, man.
No, I mean your driver's license.
Oh, yeah, I got my driver's license, man. I just thought it was so real funny, man. Yeah, your mama.
Sir, what is your name?
What?
What's your name?
Isn't it on there on the license, man?
I am the walrus.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Do something about this immediately! 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 Harumph! 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 Harumph!
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Doga! 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 Doga!
Listening to Cinema Thrust Officer.
Welcome to episode 119 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out in the Crespediso Studio 3.0. As always, just doing my thing. Thank you so much for downloading. We appreciate it. If this is your first time downloading, welcome. We talk about movies every week. We have a good time doing it. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. This week we are guestless, but that's fine because I got Drewster Cogburn. Drew!
What up?
How's it going, dude?
Another day in paradise.
It is. Another day in humid paradise. So humid. Summer hasn't even started yet.
Oh, it might as well have started.
Might as well be that summer. That was your Crespediso Weather Report. Hope it helped you out wherever you are and whenever you are. Because that's the beauty of podcasting. First off, I have to wish Drew happy 419. He is anti-hero 419 all over the internet, on Twitter,
that is true.
The Snapchat, and on the Instagram, and on the MySpace, and on the Hotmail, and on the Live Journal, and on the Napster, and on the Netflix, the Netscape.
You're talking about things that don't exist anymore, Chris.
On the AOL Instant Messenger. You got that AIM? Hit up Drewster on AIM at anti-hero 419. That was what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yes, it was. Yahoo Messenger.
No, never did anything Yahoo.
What else is out there? Internet's a wild, crazy thing. So it is April 19th. Happy April 19th, Drew.
Thank you, Chris.
Doing anything special? Celebrating any special way today, Mr.
No.
Antihero 419?
No, celebration will be tomorrow.
Celebrate a day late? That's weird, on a Monday, too. Mm-hmm. You would think you would maybe a day earlier on the Saturday to really get it. That doesn't seem right. Nah. Seems improper.
It's just the way it is, man.
All right, that's sure. Fair enough. Well, we got so much to talk about. It's ridiculous. And we're going to try to split it up between the two halves as much as possible. Ah, hell, it's all going to be in the second half of the show. So that second half is going to be packed. I got to talk about some Florida Film Fest movies that I saw. Today's the last day of the fest. I saw a whole bunch of movies. I think I've seen a total of about 14 movies. Not bad. Nice. Gotta say. And we got some emails, we got some tweets, got Facebook responses, we got Billy D's Death at the Movies, movie news, got a special segment, returning segment, Chris reads stuff off the internet. Good times.
Yes.
That's always good times. And all sorts of shit, but that's all the second half. First half, of course, we start like we do every week with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, which is, we started that right here.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Netflix Instant Picks of the Week can be heard every week on Cinema Crespo, so you can check them out at chriscrespo.com. There's years worth of picks there, so You would think we would run out, but no.
Oh, no, no.
Crespediso Randomizer 9000 is filled with movies.
Filled to the brim.
Drew Sarah Cogburn has already activized. He's activized.
Activized.
The Randomator.
The Randomator.
And he has this week's Netflix pick, so where we got you? Where we going?
This one's from 1990, Chris.
1990?
It's rated R.
Oh, shit. All right. Rated R movie from 1990.
1 hour and 54 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You rated it 4 stars.
Ah, that's a lot of stars. That's a lot of stars for an R-rated film from 1990 that is only 154 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Kevin Costner.
No.
Starring Sean Connery. Starring.
Nope. Starring Marshall Bell.
Who?
Starring Michael Ironside.
Oh, good old Michael Ironside. We're talking about that. What are we talking about? Can't be RoboCop because RoboCop was the past one. No, he was not. He was in Total Recall. Can't be Total Recall because that was a previous pick. Michael Ironside was in Scanners, but that's 1980-81, so it can't be that one.
Because it was a previous pick? Well, because that's what it is, Chris.
So remember, Edgy was here. Edgy hadn't seen Total Recall?
Uh-huh.
All right, well,
you
sometimes,
put it in there again,
sometimes
I guess.
There's doubles in the randomizer. Sometimes that happens. So that's a fail. Do I have a fail sound effect here?
Can I get another fail, please?
Oh, Drew pulls a zonk. That is definitely that's an official fail. If you pull, there's a bunch of things like that in there. If you ever pull 3 zonks or X's in a row, then you get kicked off the show. Fortunately, a guest has never done that. We've never had the awkwardness of having to kick off one of our guests. But I am a stickler for the rules, and if it ever comes up, I'm gonna have to kick him out.
All right, Chris. This one's from 2013.
Much more recent. Probably already won. I was already on there, too. There you go.
It's also rated R.
Rated R, 2013, an hour and...
2 hours and 9 minutes.
2 hours and 9 minutes, 2013.
Starring
Vin Diesel.
Rob Corddry.
Rob Corddry? He wasn't starring in it.
Starring.
2013.
Ed Harris.
Okay.
Starring. Mm-hmm. Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub, that's throwing me off. For a second, I thought that was Ed Harris and Rob Corddry are both in Cedar Rapids. But I don't think that's on the Netflix pick of the week. Oh, that'd be a good pick if it was on Netflix, but it's not on Netflix. And now you're throwing in, what's his name? What'd you say?
Tony Shalhoub.
Monk? Talk about Monk?
Starring Anthony Mackie.
Were all these people, Ed Harris wasn't in wasn't in Captain America Winter Soldier.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. Anthony Mackie. Okay.
Starring!
None of these people. This movie isn't starring any of these people, first off.
Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, Dwayne The Rock Johnson with Anthony Mackie. This is, we're talking about that Pain and Gain.
Yes,
Pain and Gain. Pain and Gain. All right. I don't have the applause button somewhere else. I kind of love Pain and Gain.
It's good.
It's one of those Michael Bay movies where he's just such an angry, hate-filled person that he decides to turn this horrible story about these psychopaths who torture this dude and murder other people, and he tries to make it into a Coen Brothers-esque comedy.
Yeah, kind of.
And it's hysterical.
It's
hysterical because of what because that's his approach. He's such a unique, singular filmmaker. I mean, just Bad Boys 2 is totally cinema of hate. 100%. It's all dead bodies and drug overdoses and when his directed by Michael Bay credit comes up, it's over
cameras.
A burning cross.
Yeah,
rotating cameras aren't necessarily hate filled. He just uses that to film shootouts and stuff of people dying. So I'm just saying he makes movies that are crazy, dark and interesting in a way.
So does that mean the Transformers are filled with hate? Because the answer is
they are racist, most of them. Most of them are racist in some way, yeah. So, and hate for his audience, for sure. Because he doesn't give a shit about his audience when he makes those movies. But Pain and Gain, though, is a crazy, weird movie. Wahlberg is great in it. The Rock is awesome. It's probably my favorite. Anthony Mackie is great. All these people are fantastic. Who is Ed Harris? Not Ed Harris, Ed Helms. Who is Ed Helms?
I didn't say Ed Helms. I said Ed Harris.
You did, but I was thinking Ed Harris. I was thinking Ed Helms. That's where you said Ed Harris. But my brain said Ed Helms.
Yep. Nope.
I should drink some more.
Honestly. Yes, you should.
Got this quadruple. Yeah. A little bit of cherry ale added. Ale made from cherries. Just 2%, though. Just a touch. It's good stuff. Drew, that's what I'm saying. What are you drinking over there?
It's 312 Urban Wheat.
Ooh, Urban Wheat. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, what urban is code for.
Delicious.
Let me write down pain and gain. This is our Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, and I like it. Good job, Drewster Cogburn. Although you did pull one that was already one before and didn't realize it was not even that long ago.
I really don't pay attention to Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, Chris. I've seen most of these movies. Everyone I pull out is like, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. Mm-hmm. Like this one. Yeah.
Which was that one? Let me see. Totally. Just hold it up to me. Let me just see.
Totally seen it.
Oh, yeah. I've actually been meaning to rewatch that one.
This one. I mean, come on. I was on the way up and up on that motherfucker.
Yeah, well, we talked about that one a bunch of times, but technically it's never been a pick of the week, so it's still in the randomizer, you know?
Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. You know how many people haven't seen that movie? A lot of people haven't seen that one.
Oh, come on! Dude.
That might have been, has that been chosen before? That might have been the pick of the week before. Yeah. That's a classic. That's a good one. I can't wait for that one to be picked one day.
I mean, dude.
That's a brand new one. That one's just added. What?
So far, I've pulled out like 12 or 15 of these things.
Yeah, yep.
I've seen most of them, if not in theaters.
Yep. That's a classic. That's a thing, though. That's a classic now. People don't know. People, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Have you seen that one? I don't think you've seen that one.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
With Ewan McGregor?
Uh-huh.
It's not Star Wars, people. Ha, Drew, finally. Oh, no. Okay. Okay, we get it, Drew. We get it. You've seen most of the...
There's no point in me paying any attention to what I'm doing with this Netflix is a pick of
the week. Well, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
I've seen them all.
Okay, good.
See, that's what my problem is, Chris. I can't use your Netflix instant pick of the week because I have seen and been privy to...
Although,
all of these.
Even if you've seen a lot of movies, you can still go through the picks of the week, right? And be like, oh, I haven't seen that movie in forever. And it's on the Netflix, you know? Maybe you weren't aware that something like Pain and Gain is currently on Netflix. Even though it's not that, it was only 2013. But still, good stuff. Fun stuff. If you want to see The Rock, barbecue a hand.
I'm about to say grill a couple hands, yeah. Totally.
You got that Pain and Gain. Before we get into the box office recap, we saw a movie at the Florida Film Festival that's been playing at festivals and been playing in theaters for a little while now, and it's been getting really good buzz. I keep seeing a lot of good stuff regarding it, so I was excited to see it. We saw a movie called Kumiko the Treasure Hunter.
Kumiko colon the Treasure Hunter.
Kumiko.
No colon?
Comma.
Comma.
The Treasure Hunter, as a matter of fact. Yes. Yes, even more awkward. It's a comma. So let's go ahead and get that started with Drewster Cogburn. What were your first impressions of Kumiko?
It was a good movie. It was definitely arty. It's
arty farty.
It's a slow build.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first half of the movie, I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty bored.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess the end pays off. I like the actual ending. It's definitely not an American movie, you can tell.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The approach to it. Yes. Not your typical mainstream American. I mean, it's largely very quiet movie.
It is.
There's not much dialogue.
No.
Yeah. You know, which I like. It's a movie where they're trying to convey a story via the images as opposed to just outright telling you what's happening. Although there's still a couple characters that pop up that do a lot of talking. The cop.
Yeah, but not her.
Holy, no, not Kumiko.
Not Kumiko. Kumiko doesn't say shit.
Especially when she goes from Japan to America.
Yeah.
And then she knows even less to say. It's about a girl, Kumiko, who is...
retarded?
Mentally ill.
Socially awkward?
I'm going with mental illness.
Yeah.
That has an adult onset.
Okay.
Mental illness is where I'm going with. But it has led to depression and withdrawal. And she sees, she finds a tape of Fargo. It says this is a true story at the beginning. And then she sees that there's money buried and she wants to go to a Fargo to find the money.
Fargo.
That's the whole movie. She wants to go to Fargo. Go Fargo. To find the movie. To find the money from the movie.
From the movie.
And at one point she even tells the character, like, this is what I'm doing. This is my plan. And dude's like, this is fake. This is all fake.
It's not real.
And she's like,
it's real.
I'm going.
I'm gonna go find that Fargo money.
I like how she considers herself a Spanish conquistador.
Well, that's, and she's going, that's that mental illness kicking in.
And she's got a destiny. It's her destiny, though.
Yes, it is. It is her destiny, Chris. What happened to her and the circumstances of the movie? Totally her destiny.
Totally. Absolutely. How could it be avoided?
Yeah, no, she was, exactly.
She went straight for it. She made a beeline towards that ending. It is very, you know, it's very singular in the way it's made. It's not a... I don't want to say it's inaccessible, but it's not mainstream. It's,
no, not
you know,
at all.
It takes its time. It's a patient film.
A lot of people are going to be... I think a lot of people are going to be kind of turned off by the movie.
I think it's a thing where if you don't know what you're getting into, you could be... your expectations could be subverted, or it's just not what you're expecting, and people hate that.
Yeah.
For sure. So if you let them know ahead of time, hey, this is kind of a... It's a little slower. It builds. It takes its time. People might be more open to checking it out. But I liked it, though. I thought it was quite good. I really enjoyed it.
It was fun.
I really enjoyed it. I would definitely recommend people checking it out, for sure. I really liked how in the beginning, when she's watching the copies of Fargo on the VHS, and it's all fucked up, and it's like, we get to see it in its fucked up form with the tracking all messed up, and the sound is all weird and mm-hmm. warbled, and it's like very much... portions are very much like a horror film in that, where it's like very sonically weird and like filled with dread. Sort
definitely.
Of, you know? Yeah, I actually really enjoyed that stuff. So let's see what they're saying on the Rotten Tomatoes here. Out of 94 reviews, 83 of them are fresh. Mm-hmm. So we got an 88% Tomatometer reading. Average rating is 7.3 out of 10. If you go to Top Critics... out of 27 top critics, 22 thought it was fresh, so it drops down to 81%, but still 7.3 out of 10. Consensus. Powerfully acted. That's true. Kimiko, she was great. Powerfully acted and lovely to look at. The movie is gorgeous.
It was fucking beautiful.
Kimiko the Treasure Hunter offers a treat for cinephiles with a taste for the pleasantly peculiar.
Yeah, definitely.
That's pretty accurate. And, you know, audience score, I think that's usually kind of a telling thing with these. You have to take into account that for many movies, especially your movies like Avengers and Batman and stuff like that, the fans are going to be like, oh, I'm rating the audience score in here because I love the movie. I want to promote it. Something like this is more off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. I think you get a little more true score. 69% liked it.
Okay.
All right. So a little more than half. Well, average rating, user rating, 3.6 out of 10. And that's out of almost 5,000 ratings. So definitely something that's more liked by critics than the average moviegoer. But that's because, you know, film critics just see more movies.
Yeah.
You get bored. You want to see something different, mm-hmm. right? So there you go. Kimiko, I think it's really cool. I definitely recommend seeing it. If it's in theaters, I would say go check it out. What would you say, Drew?
Nah, I'd say wait for it at home.
Or, okay.
Redbox, Netflix, whatever.
Watching the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, yeah. That way, if you don't like it, you can just turn it off instead of, because, sure. I mean, that was,
okay.
You know, it can be, movies can be expensive these days, man.
Yes, they can. All right, well, let's get into that top five for the box office recap of the weekend of April 19. Happy Drewster. We're into here for 19 weekend.
Happy, man. We got to think of a good name for the holiday.
Drewster Day.
That's a horrible sound to it. Coming in number five this week.
Cogburn Fest.
Even worse.
Día de los
Cogburns. The longest ride. Weekend gross is $6.85 million, total of $23.5 million. Budget unlisted on Box Office Mojo.
No budget on that one?
Nope.
Aww.
Not on this one. Aww. I mean, it couldn't have been that expensive. It's not like there are any real established actors. I mean, it's a Nicholas Sparks movie, Chris.
Yeah. The Eastwood guy is going to be.
Well, yeah, eventually, but not now.
Because he's in Eastwood. He's about to be in a whole bunch of movies. But yeah, now it'll be the type of thing where people look back and be like, oh, he was in that movie?
Yep.
He was that guy?
Uh-huh. Yes, he was.
Yeah, we didn't see it. We got nothing to add about it. 29% on the Rotten Tomatoes, so not very well liked either.
Coming in number four this week, Home had a weekend gross of $10.3 million, total of $142.6 million on a budget of $135 million.
I'm not even bothering to check. I'm going to go ahead and say another $100-$150 million. Million worldwide already. That's the thing with the animated movies. It's so easy to swap out the voices.
For anything.
And then you can even get celebrities from other countries to do the voices, right? And boom, making tons of money over there. So, but that only works for your DreamWorks movies or your Disney movies, you know? you got a lot of these companies that think, oh, that's the money. They see these animated movies making a bunch of money, and they're like, oh, that's where the easy money is, quote unquote. Then they fucking get like 40 animators in a warehouse, make them slog for 5 years, make their shitty, shitty animated film that has to deal with some, like talking animals or aliens or something. Mm-hmm. There's so many of those really bad, really cheap animated movies.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I mean, they're so bad. And they can still cost like 50, 60 goddamn million dollars. Mm-hmm. When you're DreamWorks, you can put $175 million into a movie. When you're Pixar, you can do a $200 million animated film, and then it's going to make $1 billion because, oh, our movie's called Toy Story 4.
Yes.
Which you're making. Okay.
Coming in at number three this week, Unfriended had a weekend gross of $16 million, same as the total budget, unlisted again.
A new one, Unfriended. This is that horror film where it all takes place on a computer screen over a Skype conversation. Uh-huh. Apparently, one of the original titles of the movie was Cybernatural. He's taking it in.
No.
Not liking it. Unfriended. Even though Unfriended feels like snarky and still, dopey, it's better than Cybernatural.
Yeah, it is.
But I think Cybernatural may be more telling as to the reveal, if there is one. Because we didn't see the movie.
Yeah, it's some sort of internet ghost nonsense.
Yeah, I think it's straight up like internet ghosts, and they don't even bother really explaining it. It's just like poltergeist type of thing. The ghost of the dead girl makes these people kill themselves somehow. I'm not sure. I thought the trailer looked. I think it looks stupid. It looks horrible. Mm-hmm. It really looks dumb.
Agreed.
But you know, it didn't get the worst reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Out of 75 reviews, 49 of them were positive, so it's a 65%. So technically, fresh rating. Average rating 6.1 out of 10. So that indicates, you know, a little better than lukewarm, right? A lot of people saying, "Eh, it's good." That type of thing, right? Consensus. Unfriended subverts found footage horror cliches to deliver a surprisingly scary entry in the teen slasher genre with a technological twist.
Teen slasher with a technology twist. That's awful.
That sounds like the elevator pitch
for
whoever sold this movie. It doesn't have a budget listed there?
Nope.
That's got to be incredibly cheap. A million, somewhere between 1 and 3 million to make this thing.
Probably.
Minimum.
I mean, it's all done on webcams.
And I don't want to go to a theater on a big screen to watch someone...
Put a bunch of little screens together?
And apparently, it's not even like it jumps between a bunch of different browsers. I think it... Because I try to read some stuff on it, because I'm vaguely interested in how they pull it off, right? And apparently, the whole thing is one browser, so it's only one of the users. And to go with the whole ADD theme for, you know, the new generations or whatever, the person's constantly swapping back and forth between their Spotify or Pandora playlist and the Skype conversation and doing this and going over the Wikipedia pages, so it's all on one screen, so you're watching all this stuff happen on one browser page. It's
lame.
One person doing all the work, clack, 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 clack.
So it all could have been done on a computer, literally.
Possibly, yeah. As a matter of fact, I read that they did a bunch of scenes in long takes. At one point, they even recorded themselves doing the whole script, the whole story, from start to finish for 80 minutes or whatever it takes them to do it. The actors asked to do that. They said, hey, can we try to do this all in one long Skype conversation with the windows dropping out? So, I mean, they're already into it. They dedicated themselves to it, you know, went all out. So I appreciate that. But it just still looks so stupid.
Yeah, it looks
so
dumb. Agreed.
I think I'm going to wait for this to hit DVD, right? This is going to take some waiting, but I'm going to wait. And what I want to do is then I'm going to pull a trilogy, triple feature. You're going to have to get on this with me, Drew. We're going to watch The Den, which Matt from SBK Live recommended to us a while ago. And it's still on Netflix. And that's a movie where someone, they're doing some webcamming and they see a murder. Okay. And then someone else's webcam. And the whole movie apparently takes place via webcams.
Okay.
Matt liked it a lot, but he also likes some junky horror films too. Yes. So he loves horror films. He loves them, right? I want to watch that. Then I want to watch that Nacho Vigalondo movie, Open Windows, with Elijah Wood, because that's another one where it takes place all via the computer screen.
And then watch this one.
And then we'll watch this one. We'll see which one does it the best. And then I am thinking, after we see those three movies, we
make
can,
our own.
We can officially poo-poo the whole
genre.
The whole genre of through the computer screen movie, because, I mean...
And just be like, this is garbage.
This is garbage. We know it because we've seen the first three movies I've ever really tried it. That's my proposed plan. How do you feel about that?
Sure, why not? Sure. Watch three movies and then shit on them. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. That's what we do in the film critic world. That's what people think we do. Anyway, here we go. What's so that was number three?
Correct.
How about Saint Drewy's Day? How about Saint Jucifer's Day? For 419.
That just sounds weird. Saint Jucifer.
Saint Jucifer. And then you walk around trying to go and say, Happy Saint Jucifer Day to you, sir. And back to you. Yeah? No?
Coming to number two this week.
Okay.
Fat Fuck, : Mall Cop 2.
Fat Fuck? What? I was going to say. There's no movie called.
Yes.
You swapped windows over there.
Fat Fuck, : Mall Cop 2. No, Paul Blart, :
Paul Blart.
Mall Cop 2. Weekend gross 24 million, Sims total budget of 30. That's a nice round number.
Yeah, it is. That first one made a good amount of money. It was only a matter of time, actually, before he made the second one.
It'll make its money back.
It will. Yeah, well, sure. Eventually. I'm just going to go ahead and jump straight to this, because obviously we didn't see this.
No.
I mean, me and Copa just put out that I didn't see any new movies this weekend because of the Florida Film Festival, right? Busy doing that shit. But not like we're going to go see Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 anytime soon.
No.
And although with this, I might, I'm interested. As a matter of fact, Paul Blart's on the TV right now. Although it's not him. It's MMA Paul Blart. The one where he lost a little bit of weight.
Never saw it.
He lost like 10 pounds and then he did some MMA. Rotten Tomatoes. Out of 38 reviews, 38 of them are rotten.
So they're all bad.
0% tomato meter. With an average rating of 2.1 out of 10.
Sounds about right.
Consensus. Bathe in flop sweat and bereft of purpose. Paul Blart, : Mall Cop 2. Strings together fat-shaming humor and segue sight gags with uniformly unfunny results. For comparison's sake, I am going to pull up the original Paul Blart from 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Which out of 113 reviews, 33% of them were fresh. Average rating 4.6 out of 10. So even that movie, the first one, got like, it kind of stinks, but it's not an abomination. The sequel is getting abomination level reviews there.
That's probably awful, Chris.
So that's why that makes me kind of want to see it.
Really?
Like how... You learn, if you really are interested in making movies and telling stories, you can very much learn more from the bad movies than you can from the good movies. You can try your whole life to try to emulate the good movies, or you can watch all the bad ones.
And don't do that.
And don't do that garbage. Like, oh, shit. Okay, that makes sense. Don't do this. Yeah, exactly. So you got to mix it up. You can't just avoid all the bad shit. If you don't know what sucks, how do you know what's cool? That's the wise words of Butthead to Beavis on the Beavis and Butthead Experience.
All right.
Album. There you go. Sage philosophers, those two.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Also, also advice from Beavis and Butthead, I need TP for my bunghole.
Yes, and fire.
Fire. That's Drew's favorite.
Okay. Coming in number one this week, speaking of fire, Furious 7.
God damn!
Weekend gross at 29 million, total of 294.
What was the budget?
Unlisted.
Our budget's got to be... It's got to be a good budget. 125 to 150 because of the added expense of all the Paul Walker stuff. But it ended up being worth it because it made so much money. Fast and Furious 8, not officially. There's no actual movement yet on it. I mean, guaranteed it's going to happen because of the money. Vin Diesel even said number 8 is going to take place in New York City.
Well, they have to cast a new white guy.
Well, not necessarily a new white guy. A big part of what they say the success of these movies now is because of the diversity of the cast.
Okay.
From like Vin Diesel, it was Vin Diesel and white guy. Vin Diesel himself is a mixed race gentleman. And then you have Michelle Rodriguez. So you got a Spanish woman. That's two things right there. You got a Tyrese Ludacris. You got in Fast Furious 5, you had the Brazilian dudes.
Yeah.
For a while, you had the Asian guy introduced in Tokyo Drift.
Yep.
Covering a lot there was of pieces.
There was a Jewish girl. The Israeli chick.
Israeli chick, yes, right? So you got a little bit of the Middle Eastern going on there. And the latest one, they actually went to the Middle East. And then they added a black chick in the form of, what's her name, Ramsey.
Yeah.
So, and then they added another white dude They had two white dudes, a British one and an American one, Kurt Russell and Jason Statham. Jason Statham's probably gone, but we're bringing Luke Evans back, so we got the British covered. Kurt Russell's probably coming back for eight, so we got the old white man, America covered.
Young white man.
So I don't think we necessarily need young white man. Oh, and The Rock. That big, what is he, Hawaiian, Samoan? But Samoan. He's like part Samoan.
Who's going to bring in the bro crowd?
That's what the bro crowd is coming in already. They've been primed. They've been coming in. They're coming in for the Kurt Russell and the Jason Statham and the Rock and then Vin Diesel because the bro crowd's just like, bro, the cars are flying, dude. They're broing it out. You know?
Okay.
That's part of what I'm saying. So I think they can go ahead and skip that.
What about the ladies, though? The ladies love that Paul Walker.
Oh, the ladies do love that Paul Walker. I don't know. Hayden Christensen's not doing nothing.
The ladies don't like him.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. When remember we saw Takers? Were you there when we saw Takers? I went and saw Takers.
Yes, I was with you.
And the women, theater was packed with women.
But no, they loved Chris Brown.
But they were cheering for everyone, though.
No, they weren't. They were cheering for Chris Brown.
There were levels of cheering.
They were cheering for the guy who likes to beat up chicks.
Yeah, they cheered for him the most.
Which I found very strange.
But there was some cheering for T.I. There was some cheering for Walker and Christensen. Definitely on the lower end, Christensen.
Nobody likes Hayden Christensen.
No, there was a couple. No. There was a couple.
It's a lie.
I swear.
No.
I remember it being that
you
way.
You remember it being wrong. You remember it wrong.
I just elbow got a couple of woos.
I'm pretty sure. No.
Okay, so you want to bring in another white guy. Who are you bringing in? Are we bringing in Eastwood? Nah, he's busy. He's busy. No. Bringing in Pratt? Nah, Pratt's too big now. Pratt's doing doing Indiana Jones, probably. Well, who are we bringing in? We're bringing in the Galifianakis. Can we add some comedy to this actual comedy instead of the comedy that they think they're adding?
No. Got to keep their brand of comedy.
He lost weight. Galifianakis lost weight.
Doesn't matter.
Can we throw in... I hate to waste a Miles Teller on this.
No, he's too good of an actor.
We need to find... That's right. Brandon Roth. Guy's not doing nothing. Let's throw Brandon Routh a bone.
I like it.
Can we?
I like it.
Keep Kellan Lutz out of the picture.
Okay.
Bring in Brandon Routh. Find a way to bring back Ronda Rousey because she didn't do shit in the last one. One fight scene. Yeah, I think we can make Furious 8. Universal, contact us.
We could throw him a Dan Stevens.
Roman Dan Stevens. You would have to get back in shape.
He's so bland and white. It would work.
He is perfectly bland and white. Yeah, he is.
It would work.
Okay. We got it. Universal, contact us. We got you.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel, hit us up. We'll help you out.
Solve your casting problems.
We'll solve your casting problems. We'll come up with a crazy story. Mm-hmm. New York City. We get it. We got you. Who else can we bring back? Some old guy. We need to bring back another old guy, too. Because they had Kurt Russell.
We need another old guy.
Another old legacy guy. Maybe I can finally work in some Steven Seagal. He won't be in Expendables because of the producers. Because he refuses to work with some guy. We'll write a sweet.
He could do Fast and Furious.
He can be the one. Yeah. A lot of fast hand motions.
And that's it.
Cast him in. Because he can't. Just shoot him in half shadows. A lot of shadow work. Fast hands. And then Vin Diesel hit him with a wrench. And I'm like, ow.
He'll just be doing a lot of that with The Rock.
Give me a sandwich.
Fast hands versus The Rock.
Fast hands versus The Rock. It's like, hey, brother. And then it's all this weird Detroit patois. He's like, hey, bro. Listen here. If you want to hear our in-depth conversation about actual Furious 7, the actual movie, go ahead and check out our spoiler episode that we did a couple weeks ago. It's pretty good, I got to say.
It was bad.
Pretty good. Oh no, I'm talking about the spoiler episode, not the movie. Yeah, the movie itself is pretty good too.
I said not bad.
Not bad. Both of them, not bad, according to Drewson Cogburn. New movie is coming out on DVD this week. We got Taken 3.
Oh, I can't wait. Never saw it in theaters.
You didn't see it?
Nope.
I went by myself and saw that. You would
must have.
You made me sit through that by myself.
I think so. I don't remember. Give me a what happened. Maybe it'll all click back.
So Darkman is framed for the murder of his wife, Jean Grey. Uh-huh. And he's on the run from the cops. Uh-huh. And Ghost Dog Way of the Samurai is trying to track down Darkman.
See, it doesn't ring a bell in my head.
And then the girl that keeps getting kidnapped is running around trying not to get kidnapped again.
She's really bad at getting kidnapped.
She is, but she's bad at a lot of things. She's bad at a lot of things. It was okay. I appreciated that. Actually, it was a Taken movie that didn't involve any actual taking. It was like its own thing off to the side.
Okay.
But still, wasn't very good. And finally, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, the Iranian black and white vampire film, comes out on DVD this week. I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. I think it also comes out on Netflix right away on Tuesday.
Sweet.
So I'm going to try to watch that sometime this week for sure, so we can talk about it next weekend. What's going on in theaters? Drewcy Cogburn.
The Age of Adeline.
Ah, yes. Reverse Benjamin Button.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't right. it?
Because she doesn't age.
Yeah, she doesn't age ever. She just
stays young and hot.
Young and hot for forever and ever and ever.
Blake Lively.
Yep.
Again.
Not a very good actress.
Not a very good actress. But she's young.
Attractive, though.
Extremely attractive. She's young. She could, you know, she can learn. Brad Pitt wasn't that great when he started.
No, you're right. And he was also, yeah.
I think he's great.
The whole Legends of the Fall. Thank God, what a bad note.
I think he's, you know, so.
Yeah.
She could be female. Speaking of Benjamin Button, trying to tie it all together. Harrison Ford's in it.
He is.
Yeah.
Also coming out, Little Boy.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
8-year-old boy is willing to do whatever it takes to end World War II so he could bring his father home. The story reveals the indescribable love a father has for his little boy and the love a son has for his father.
Yeah, okay. No thanks.
It's got Kevin James, though.
Oh, definitely no thanks, then. Definitely no thanks.
Also coming out this weekend, The Water Diviner.
Directed by Russell Crowe.
Starring Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Only reason I would even bother checking it out. Because it's about some dudes, like, getting them as kids or something, and a war or something like that, right? Or something like that.
Or sure. Something. Australian man travels to Turkey after the Battle of Gallipoli to try and locate his three missing sons.
Is it Gallipoli? Gallipoli? Gallipoli?
Whatever, sure.
There's that Mel Gibson movie, Gallop.
Also coming out this weekend.
Gallop.
Adult Beginners.
Adult Beginners, that Nick Kroll movie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Want to see dramedy, Nick Kroll. And who else? There's also other people in it.
Rose Byrne.
Rose Byrne, that's right.
Joel McHale.
And Joel McHale, correct. That definitely seems like it's a DVD type thing.
And last but not least, Misery Loves Comedy.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a documentary. Over 50 very famous American Canadian funny people, filmmakers, writers, actors, and comedians share life and professional journeys and insights in an effort to shed light on the thesis, do you have to be miserable to be funny?
That sounds horrible.
That's the truth.
We just got a tweet as a show from Matt's Cabin. His ears must have been burning. He knew we were talking about him. Matt from SBK Live just tweeted the show. I tried to watch another Best Picture nominee and had to stop because it was so horrible. Can you guess which one? Let's guess which one right here. Let's see if we get a response from him during the show. Best Picture nominees included, I think he saw Whiplash, I think, and he liked it. He saw Birdman, didn't get it too much. He hated Grand Budapest Hotel. I don't think he would react that way to Selma because that Selma was so intense.
The Imitation Game?
Or The Theory of Everything. Imitation. Let's go with Imitation Game.
Okay.
All right. We are going to guess ellipses. All caps. The Imitation Game. How many exclamation points, Drew?
6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Go ahead and... Happy Anti-Hero 419 Day. So Drewcy Cogburn right there. Include you in that tweet. All right, we'll find out from Matt if we're right or wrong. All those movies that come out in theaters. Let's take a break. Crespo Disco time. I got a couple songs here related to some of the movies I saw at the Florida Film Festival. One by a country singer named Billy Mize. One by a jazz musician named Rasan Roland Kirk. I'll tell you more about these two fascinating people and their stories when I reviewed the Florida Film Festival movies I saw.
I bet you it was Boyhood. Movie is fucking boring as shit.
Boyhood.
So boring.
We'll see if he gives us a second guess. We'll find out. We'll find out when we come back. Hopefully, you should. So here you go.
Screw that, I quit.
Billy Mize's song called I'd Be a Legend in My Time, and Rasan Roland Kirk's song is Serenade to a Cuckoo. It's good stuff, guys. Trust me. All right, so we'll be back with the second half of the show. You ready, Drew?
No.
All right.
If heartaches brought fame in love's crazy game, I'd be a legend in my time. if they gave gold statuettes for tears and regrets, I'd be a legend in my time. Ah, but they don't give awards, and there's no craze of fame for a heart that's been broken over love that's in vain. If loneliness brought world acclaim, everyone would know my name. I'd be a legend in my time. I'd be a legend in my time. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespo Dizzo, and we want you and Drew to know we really, 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 really dig it. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespo Dizzo, and we want you and Drew to know we really dig it. Oh, you, oh, and you and Drew get aroused by previews, and now both of you, oh, we smell like popcorn. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespo Dizzo, and to the movies we go, primarily because you pick them. There you go.
Thank you. Hey,
that was awesome.
Thank you, Curtis. That was fantastic.
Thank you, sir. You're
welcome. Well, in America.
Episode 119 is back. Second half of the show. It is me, Chris Crestwood, Juicy Cochran. Drew, how's it going?
It's going. I almost left, by the way.
You almost left?
During the break?
Yeah.
I almost left.
You just left.
I almost quit the podcast.
You're just like, I gotta go.
Fuck this. I can't. I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, yeah, you're welcome.
You did walk outside. You were out there for a while.
Yeah.
I was wondering why you were pacing around your car.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's a strange way to smoke a cigarette.
It is.
Usually he just sits. But he's like, he keeps getting in his car and out of his car.
I almost quit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for not.
Welcome.
We appreciate it. I mean, it is Anti-Hero Day. Happy Anti-Hero Day, Drew.
See, that sounds awful, too.
No, you don't like that one?
No.
No.
I don't like any of it. We just won't name it. It'll be the unsung holiday.
The unsung holiday? Because you're the unsung anti-hero?
No, see, that sounds even worse. All that just sounds so awkward. We're just going to nix all of it.
We're going to nix in all of it?
Sure.
People, you can find Drew Cockburn online at antihero419. That's A-N-T-I, hero. The number after three, the one before two, and then five and four together.
Correct.
Right. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Hit up the show at Chris Beniso. You can email the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. If you want free stickers, all you got to do is email us. Put in the subject line, free stickers. Have you asked for free stickers before and you're shy to ask for more now? Don't be, because we have so many
stickers.
Literally thousands of stickers.
Yeah.
Well, about 2,000. But still, shit tons of stickers. People, email us. We'll send them to you.
I mean, seriously, if we don't start doing something with them soon, we're going to have to start getting creative. We're going to have to start doing something with them ourselves.
No, we don't have to, like, start, like, throwing them out off of buildings or stuff. I mean, it's just good to always have a stock of stickers.
Throwing them off buildings would be fun, though.
And then we're gonna have new designs coming up soon. Got to get you all set up there so we can finish those new designs. Got some sweet ones. Thanks to Billy D., New York City show correspondent, horror film aficionado, close friend of the show, and all around good fellow. And teetotaler, as I understand it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, teetotaler.
Good for him. Him and Tom Hardy. Class of their own, sort of. And millions of other people. What else? I wanted to plug something else. Put the during the plugs for stickers. Oh, yes, rate and review us on iTunes. It's very important. Please rate us reviews on iTunes. That would help us a lot. Trust me, it helps. Please do it. Thank you very much. Before we do Billy D's Death of the Movies, I want to talk about a couple of trailers. Some trailer talk with Drew Cockburn. Drew.
Chris.
A couple big trailers came out this week.
Uh-huh.
You know which ones I'm talking about?
Yes.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
I mean, let's talk about the one with Matthew McConaughey.
Okay. Yeah. Well, too much to a very large nerdgasm around the world. Star Wars, The Force Awakens trailer came out this week.
Yes.
You know, was this the first year that they stopped doing the Star Wars celebration here in Orlando?
Maybe.
And they did it in Anaheim instead, like across the street from Disneyland?
Yeah.
Because for years it was here.
No.
For years and years and years it was
it
here.
It was.
And now it's in California. Kind of sucks.
Well,
that,
like,
the biggest one ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, Disney World. That's Disney World. They got Disneyland. We got Disney World, man.
Maybe they're trying to inject some juice into Disneyland.
Might have just been easier to get all the people there.
Your
J.J. Abrams and your Kathleen Kennedys. And I don't know. I don't think George Lucas was there this year.
Well, there's probably a reason for that.
Well, yeah. He's bowed out. Like, I don't think he wants to be associated
to be there
with
anymore.
It anymore. Yeah, he doesn't even want it. He's like, I'm done with it. I'm out of it. But they did it, the whole hour-long presentation where they revealed stuff, talk about characters, et cetera, et cetera. My favorite part of the presentation, which the only part that I really even saw, but it was the best part, when they rolled out the ball droid.
You and your ball droid.
Dude, that ball droid's amazing. Me and everyone else in the world was like, I want one. As soon as I saw it roll out there, I was like, I want one. If it's a toy version, you know, a little remote control, even just something that can just sit on my desk, I want one. They're going to make so much money merchandising from just that one character, that one new character.
Probably.
It's incredible. You can see it. You can see them just printing the money.
Ball droid everywhere.
Ball droid. Yeah. Officially called BB-8. Cute name, I guess. BB-8. You slash the 8 down the middle. And so, it's two Bs. Right?
Yes.
You're a graphic design guy.
Mm-hmm.
We can make our own BB-8.
Can't we?
Just need some gyroscopes and magnets, bro.
And two remote controls.
Yes.
See, that's not the one you want. You want the one without remote controls.
Oh, yeah, the real one. But that's when the AI takes over and then we're fighting the robots.
Well, that'll be soon enough.
That is soon enough. Yeah, that's soon enough. But then at the end of all that, the whole thing that culminated with the showing of the new... They're still calling this one a teaser trailer, so they don't consider it the full trailer, probably because it doesn't give any real story points or anything like that. So, teaser trailer number 2 for Star Wars The Force Awakens. If, for some odd reason, you haven't seen the trailer yet, but you want to see it, go on right now, online, check it out. We'll wait for you. We're right here. We'll be here when you get back. Don't worry about it. And you're back. How's it going, guys? So, what were your initial thoughts when you first saw that? Did it get you, Drew? Did it give you that Matthew McConaughey and Interstellar eyes tearing up? I'm feeling it in my little boy parts.
I didn't really feel, I mean it. I definitely you know some hairs rose on my arms a little bit. I mean, just seeing, you know, the old stuff, and only because even these trailers look better than the trailers for the new Star Wars.
Yeah,
when they first came out, you know, episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, looks more like the original Star, more like in the spirits of the original Star Wars.
Exactly.
I would say, sort of.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be better than the last ones, and I'm really hoping that you know, this is the re-energizing of the series that you know, we've been waiting for.
Yeah. It seems pretty promising. I think could be J.J. Abrams' best film of his career. And I say that as a guy who hasn't really been a fan of his movies.
Yeah, no, you don't like him all that much.
But I keep giving him a chance, though. I don't understand that. For some reason, like, I want to give this guy a chance.
Why? Because he makes interesting decisions.
Well, he made Mission Impossible 3 exactly. Was his first movie, and then he made Star Trek movies. Like, well, he's making a Star Trek movie, and then now it's a Star Wars movie. He's like, man, now this guy's getting greedy with Star stuff. Next thing you know, he's like, I want to reboot the Stargate TV show.
Maybe he will.
And do a Stargate prequel film with James Spader coming back.
Maybe he could.
And Kurt Russell. That'd be awesome. Anyway, tangent. I really like the opening. The opening shot like got me right away. The trailer where it's the little speed or whatever in the distance, and there's a crashed X-wing in the foreground, and then the gigantic crashed Star Destroyer in the background. It's like, oh, that's like it's epic. It's their fresh. Scale. Yeah. It looks crazy, but it's also a gorgeous shot. You know, it's that makes that old school kind of like the big panorama shot, Lawrence of Arabia style, that David Lean type of thing that George Lucas was doing. And then, you know, the little details are cool. The chrome stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Ball droid. Mm-hmm. John Boyega, who I just saw in another movie at the Florida Film Fest.
Okay.
Now I'm like, I want to see more of that guy. After Attack the Block in the Southern movie, I'm down for more John Boyega. Just happens to be fucking Star Wars. Including my other boy, Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Who now they show him, he's like, woo! He's like all super happy about flying. No. Which is, yeah, that's cool.
Yep. That's cool. Got to see some Luke Skywalker mechanical hand.
Mechanical hand. That's right, because before it was in the gloves.
We're assuming it's Leia, you know, being handed a lightsaber.
No, I think it's Leia handing the girl the lightsaber.
Okay.
That's what I think is going on. I think that chick is going to be Han Solo and Leia's daughter, but like Luke without really knowing it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe. Pure
speculation.
But yeah, it's a really good trailer. Really good trailer. I'm looking forward to seeing it in front of Avengers. It'll be cool in front of the big screen.
Yeah, definitely.
Not looking forward to being jizzed on by all the geeks and fanboys sitting around us.
Yeah, they're going.
When it happens.
Yeah,
and
they're
woo! And they cheer the Lucasfilms logo.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a company logo. Relax.
Yep.
Just a movie, guys.
Not to them, though.
This Christmas.
And there's a little part of me who's like that on the inside. I just don't let it out because, man, it's awful.
Yeah. And then another trailer came out a few days early.
Yes.
Because someone recorded a trailer off a theater screen and uploaded online. Warner Brothers wanted to then get ahead of that. They don't want that to be people's first look. So they went ahead. It was supposed to come out till Monday online. Came out Friday, the previous Friday. Batman v Superman.
Colon.
Department of Justice. And it's an interesting trailer.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot going on in that trailer. That false god stuff.
Batman looks bloated, though.
He's the bulky Frank Miller Batman.
Yeah,
they're really pulling from The Dark Knight Rises.
They really are. I mean,
I should say The Dark Knight Returns. I'm sorry.
He really does look like the drawings in Frank Miller's Batman, but that's
which is because there's a lot of armor underneath that Batman suit.
Yeah.
There's a quick shot of him like standing on a roof. Batman from the back, and it looks like he's sitting, he's holding onto the antenna of the building. Went back and watched it. He's holding a rifle with a scope.
Oh, nice.
Which is straight up Dark Knight Returns. Yeah. At one point, there's a lot of panels of Batman with a gun, which looks odd. And but he used the shooter rope from building to building, and then like he ran across the rope, fucking Walenda style. Like he tiny toed it, and he made it no problem, which is hysterical. And, oh, shit, okay. Chicago and versus the world. Just a guy grinning versus the world. That sound can only mean one thing. Time for some real quick Juicy Cogburn versus the World, the sparring round. Drew, you're sitting on a record of 4-1. You won last week?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're 4-1 so far. Only person to beat you was the Black Hasselhoff at Forget That Yo Radio. That was his first win out of three. So he was just due. If it wasn't for that, he'd be undefeated. Good sir. And I think these sparring rounds are what helps, man. You know, can't let you just sit back on your laurels. You know, what do you think Manny Pacquiao does between fights? Just record songs.
Stuffs his face with sticky buns.
That's what I would do, man. Love a good sticky bun. We're going to do a round of Super Franchise Me. It's a game we've done a couple times before. I'm going to tell you the movie franchise. You tell me how many movies they've made in that franchise. For example, if I tell you Taken, the answer would be?
3.
Okay, so here we go. Number 1, Die Hard.
5.
Correct. Number 2, Twilight.
3.
Incorrect. 4. They got you with the splitting.
They did that whole splitting of the movies at the end thing.
Gotcha.
Bastard.
And number 3, The Karate Kid.
Are we including all of them?
All of them. Every movie called The Karate Kid.
5.
That is correct. Number 4. Harry Potter.
8.
That is correct. Number 5, The Chronicles of Narnia.
2.
3.
They snuck out a third one?
They snuck that third one in there. Yeah. Prince Caspian. Number 6, American Pie.
3.
4. Is that American Reunion movie that came out when they're all old? And by old, I mean early 30s. Number 7, Pirates of the Caribbean or Pirates of the Caribbean.
4.
That is correct. Number 8, Bloodsport.
4?
Correct. Number 5, Kickboxer.
5.
Correct. And number 10. Series started by Jet Li. Once Upon a Time in China.
3.
5. Made 5 of those. I've only seen the first two. Let me see. You got 1, 2, 3, 4 incorrect. So 6 out of 10. Not bad, Drew. And a couple of those you clearly guessed.
Yes,
so good 100%. Job. Very good job. Yeah, they made 5 of those kickboxing
That's
movies.
What I'm saying. I was like, what?
And I think the 5th one, which is the late 90s one, Tong Po came back from the first movie. The bad guy from the first movie was back in the 5th one, and he was running his own underground Kumite-style thing on his own island, and it was all like a front for a drug thing. It was straight up a ripoff of Enter the Dragon.
Nice.
Which is, I can appreciate that, actually. I thought that was kind of fun. So, yeah. So, Batman is for sure. They're going Frank Miller Batman. Even the suit.
Yeah.
Right? His big ass suit at the end. So, but they're not going that storyline. Are they? They can't be. Because all that Superman stuff. Superman is a side character in Batman in the Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
He pops up at the end. And when he pops up, it's like, oh shit, we're including Superman in this thing now. It's kind of an epic moment. When he's introduced talking to Ronald Reagan, right, and all that stuff. One of the few like graphic novels that I really like, I read a bunch of times. And as a matter of fact, Suicide Squad, the Suicide Squad movie they're making with Jared Leto as the Joker,
uh-huh.
They're going Dark Knight Returns Joker.
Okay.
So the shorter hair, big broad shouldered suit, that type of guy, yeah. Slightly older. Mm-hmm. We're going with that Joker. Yes, but so then the whole thing with Superman. So you got Batman. He's like, you know, you have that Alfred voiceover, Jeremy Irons. What turns good men cruel? That hopelessness or whatever. That helplessness.
Yeah.
So obviously Batman is a mean son of a bitch.
Yep.
As he should be. Superman, meanwhile, giant statue erected to him. Someone spray paints a false god on it. You notice in the shot where he's like standing there, and there's like four. Like stormtrooper type guys, like SWAT team dudes.
Yeah.
And they're on their knees in front of them. And then they all have like Superman S's on their What's that?
It almost looks like what it's like the that? Superman Red Sun stuff.
When he landed in the USSR instead?
Yeah.
What's going on in there?
I mean, it's just, it, you know.
But did he become like a leader of some sort like that?
Yeah, of sorts.
With stormtroopers and shit?
No.
Because that's what it looks like.
No.
And then, it's just a teaser. So obviously there's no Wonder Woman. No Aquaman.
No.
No Cyborg. No. Who else did they squeeze into this fucking thing? You hear Jesse Eisenberg a couple of times, but you don't see him. And then similarly, you hear Jeremy Irons, but you don't see him. Our first look at Ben Affleck as both characters.
Yeah.
The controversial casting of Ben Affleck. I got to admit, when it fades in and it's him as Bruce Wayne standing there in his suit.
He doesn't look bad.
With his haircut and he's just brooding. I'm like, you know what?
Not bad, Bruce Wayne.
Ben Affleck can brood. He could be a brooding playboy. Okay. In this one image, I'm digging it, right? And then in the suit, it's just a suit. So the suit's defining it more. Like you said, it's a bulkier version of the suit that we haven't seen before. And probably the scowliest mask of all of them.
Yeah, you seriously. Know?
It's like permanent pissed off Batman face. But then the only thing we hear of his Batman voice, though, is when he's in the robot suit. So it has kind of a robot tinge to it.
Robot Batman voice.
But otherwise, outside of robot Batman voice, it sounds like he's going with the Michael Keaton harsh whisper over the...
Where I just talk like this, because I'm Batman.
I'm Batman. Over the Christian Bale, I'm Batman!
I am Batman!
That hurts my throat to do that.
I know.
I don't like having to do that. So what do you think? What are your first impressions of?
I think he's a good Bruce Wayne. I'm still not sold on him as Batman.
That's gonna be Batman with the voice and everything.
With the limited frames that I've seen, I haven't seen hardly any movement.
Nothing. No.
Everything is Batman just standing there.
Yes, or that one shot where he emerges from a hole somewhere, yeah. And then you notice like, man, he's big looking.
Yeah,
he's bulky just, looking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll have to see how it looks. I'm not sold of him as Batman because we haven't heard his real Batman voice.
That's
unless
true.
He's doing robot Batman voice the whole time, in which case.
Which is not possible, so.
Weird.
Yeah, like why does he always have robot voice? He's not in the suit and he's wearing a normal suit. I'm looking forward to Jeremy Irons. I keep forgetting Jeremy Irons was Alfred. And then, like oh my God,
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons is awesome. He's Alfred. So that was interesting. That's a pretty big week for movie trailers for geek movies, comic book movies, Star Wars, you know, set box office records this December, and then Batman v Superman, Department of Justice Ice, coming out next March and setting records then. Gonna be very interesting for sure. All right, let's go ahead and start up that, what's his name? Who's that guy? Who's our buddy?
Huh.
Billy D?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of Death at the Movies. So glad you made it. I've been better than the last one. Be a little longer this time. We have to keep adding sounds. Billy, these are the movies. Here we go, Drew.
What is happening, friends?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Billy?
Last night, I decided to unwind and put on Life Itself. After that,
the Roger Ebert documentary.
I was obviously quite disturbed. All those feelings. I needed something fun. Something with punch. Something with speed. Good thing Netflix added Crank to their lineup.
Oh, Crank. Nice.
Jason Statham is Chev Chelios, a cartoonish maniac. He's been poisoned by cartoon gangsters. If his adrenaline drops, he dies. If he doesn't get the antidote in 24 hours, he dies. He does pretty much anything. He dies. So Chev, being the cartoon maniac he is, does a ton of everything on his path to revenge. I love both of the Crank movies, directed by Neville Dean Taylor, two cartoon maniacs themselves who are more insane than their stuntmen. The only thing more entertaining than the movies they make are the behind-the-scenes features of the movies they make. Seriously, they shoot chases on rollerblades being dragged behind cars or dangling from helicopters. If you haven't seen the cinematic oddity Crank, do it. If you have, You might as well do it again. Crank is still as insane as you remember. Stay cool, Billy D.
I'm sure you watch Crank.
It's fun.
I haven't seen it, I think, since it was in a theater. I might have seen a little bit of it on TV.
It's a lot like Shoot 'Em Up.
It's like a crazier version of Shoot 'Em Up. It's kind of like what Shoot 'Em Up wanted to be. Shoot 'Em Up was almost
really fucking insane, dude.
It's pretty insane, but compared to Crank or even a Crank 2.
Oh, Crank 2 was even more insane.
Crank 2 was...
They cranked it up.
Yeah, Crank 2 was over the top. Ridiculous. Neville Dean Taylor, that's an interesting filmmaking duo there for sure. They made that Jonah Hex movie, which should have been great, and said it was awful.
So awful.
So bad. Weirdly terrible. But yeah, Crank is cool. I did Crank.
It was fun.
Should we watch it? So there you go. Thanks, Billy. Billy D telling you to watch Crank. Hit him up on Twitter at ILoveBlood. You can email the show at cinemacrespiso@gmail.com if you got a question, you got a movie review, you got a topic. So what do you got there, Drew?
This is from friend of the show, Billy D.
Billy D chiming in once again using the email option. We love you, Billy.
Hey, dudes.
Hey, Bill.
Wanted to kick it old school with a question real quick.
Nice.
If one of these three directors founded a religion, which would you be most inclined to join?
Now, see, now that's a fascinating question because we just watched that Scientology documentary.
Yeah, we did.
We can use the opportunity to talk about that in a second. All right, go ahead.
All right.
Interesting. Synchronicity abounds, Drew.
Tarantino, Herzog, or Cohen?
If one of those three filmmakers started a cult, one would join?
The cult of Tarantino, the cult of Herzog, or the cult of Cohen?
Okay.
Are you joining, Chris?
I'm telling you, as much as I love the guy and he's the weirdest, coolest dude ever, and I kind of wish I could like emulate him more in my life, I could never join the cult of Herzog.
Oh, you'd kill yourself within a week.
He would if he doesn't kill you first. assignments.
Or if you don't go out into the wilderness and get destroyed by nature.
Well, yeah, he'll just tell you to go battle nature, and then you'll die when a bear eats you. And then he's Herzog. He's like, well, that's the way it is. Nature will always win. This is my religion. Like, shit, I can't. I can't join the religion in which nature will always win.
Yes.
So as much as I love Herzog and I watch his movies, that's a no. Now, Tarantino, his religion is just going to be watching movies. And it'll all be based on watching prints of his movies. That's compelling. The Coen brothers, their religion would just be like a bunch of irony and coldness. And it just seems like the Tarantino religion and the Coen religion, the cults would be the same, but the Tarantino one would be way more fun.
Okay.
Way more fun. Much more illicit substance use. And the Tarantino cult.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I mean, it would almost be like freedom of religion get wasted.
So,
stuff.
So I would have to go with the QT cult.
QT?
What about you?
I'd be strung between Herzog and Tarantino.
You would consider the Herzog one?
I would consider it. Yeah, I would.
Think your Boy Scout skills will save you? They won't save you, Drew.
I'll go in battle nature.
It won't save you,
Drew. In the name of Herzog.
You can't battle nature. You can only hope its grasp on you for extra time.
I'll be the Herzog Messiah. I'll be the one who destroys nature.
Oh, wow. And then the cult will be built around you.
I will conquer nature first.
So it'll be a Herzog Kogbergian cult. Man, that was tough to say. Especially when you're almost done with this quadruple ale. Oh, my gang. Whew. Okay, well. Sorry, Coen Brothers. You guys are awesome, but we don't want to join your boring cult.
I mean, it would be fun, I guess.
No, I think it'd be pretty boring. They're just a couple of laid back dudes, just chill. They just chill with their families and come up with crazy stories.
I mean, I like chilling with my families, but I like a little
Tarantino's
fantasy and mysticism in my religion.
The Coens will throw that in, but Tarantino is going to throw in the party, and he's going to remind you every time he puts on the movie. This is fun, guys. This is enjoyable. You're going to enjoy this,
guys.
He's that type of guy. And then, meanwhile, Herzog is like, you're going to drag this boat over the mountain.
Yep. And whichever one of you die.
If you die, you die.
Yep. Pretty much.
And like I said, synchronicity abounds, Antihero 419, because we just watched the Going Clear documentary, which is about a cult that started up around successful sci-fi writer L. Ron Hubbard. Which has grown into something even uglier and more horrible than I think he could have ever even imagined or wanted.
I mean, he had a big appetite, but it seems like this other guy.
This David Miscavige.
That motherfucker, he's got an insatiable one.
A couple years ago, I want to say like a year and a half, 2 years ago, someone put out this huge article that was a profile of Tom Cruise, but it was also kind of hand-in-hand with Scientology and how the two are related to each other. And I think a large part of that article was based on the Marty Rathbun guy, who does a lot of talking in this movie. He was like Tom Cruise's main auditor, right? The guy who got to speak with Tom Cruise the most, like in private sessions, and got to hear all his
bullshit nonsense,
his desires and dreams and fears, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that was a fascinating read. And it included how David Miscavige was kind of an egotist and an asshole and an exploiter. And he was just a really bad dude.
And a violent man, apparently.
And a violent man. This documentary.
Physically violent.
Now you see the footage of him doing like the presentations at these huge gatherings. He comes across as like a villainous dude.
Oh,
just the way he is, the way he talks.
The look on his face.
Yes, his face. Everything about him. His like over the way he salutes the L. Ron Hubbard picture, or when him and Tom Cruise they salute and it's like super hard, you know what I mean?
So
like
creepy.
Really into it.
Yeah.
And like they're officers in some sort of army. Just the way Miscavige speaks is creepy as hell.
Oh yeah.
Messiah complex type shit.
Oh totally. 100%. Yeah. Well he is the leader of a religion.
Yes,
so.
He is. A tax-exempt one.
So, yes. I understand the Messiah complex thing.
With $1 billion in their coffers. Billions of dollars in their coffers.
Only between the three that they were able to audit or, you know, get tax information for.
And that was $3 billion. Yeah, that was
the beginning. Three of 21, they said.
And that was forever ago.
Yeah.
Dude, so much money. That's evil, fucked up shit.
Oh, yeah.
People should watch it. People should watch the movie.
Oh, 100%. If you have any...
If you have access to HBO.
Yeah. No, if you have access to HBO, if you have access to any, you can find a way to find this movie. If you torrent
stuff, if you're a pirate and you do shit illegally,
do it.
So be it.
Do it. Oh, yeah, totally.
Going
yeah,
Clear. Going Clear. The documentary about Scientology. It's very fascinating 2 hours.
It is.
And then, you know what? It's been out for a few weeks. We just got to watch it. A lot of articles popped up about people asking John Travolta if he's seen it, what he's thought about it. And I always... Before I saw the documentary, I thought that was because he's a well-known Scientologist, and so they were just asking him because, you know, he's one of the most well-known ones, and they have access to him over Tom Cruise. Have you seen it? He's like, no, I'm not going to see it. It's a bunch of bullshit. I won't see it. But then it made more sense after we actually got to see the movie. They make some, like, straight-up accusations about what happens with him being a prisoner of Scientology, and they have things on him that they could, like, leak out to the press, you know? And it makes more sense why they would want him. Like, dude, have you seen this? Like, can you corroborate what they say? And he was like, trying to ignore it all. Almost gives it more credence.
It does.
When he denies it so much. Interesting, fascinating shit. So, thank you, Billy, for asking the cult question. It's amazing that he asked that right when we saw Going Clear. Synchronicity, dude. Synchronous happenings. Synchronous happenstance. Drewster Cogburn. What else we got from the listeners? This is the show of the people, after all. You can email us, you can tweet us at Crespediso, you can Facebook us, Cinema Crespediso, write us, and we will read your shit on the air.
This is coming from Craig G. Oh, I am Closet Geek.
Oh, on Twitter, I am Closet Geek.
On Twitter.
But he emailed us.
Yes.
Awesome.
What are your top 5 rewatchable movies? Meaning you can watch it at any time over and over, and it never gets old.
Wow, all right.
Also, what is the name of that heavy metal song for Death of the Movies?
Oh, are you talking about this one?
Yes, he is.
That song. That would be The Red Chord is the name of the band. And the name of the song is Send the Death Storm. Which, it's actually just a coincidence that death is involved in that title. Because I love The Red Chord. It's a great album. Great song. Send the Death Storm. So what was the question? Top 5 most rewatchable movies? Movies you can watch over and over?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just... 5 that I can think of right away that I find myself watching all the time. But seriously, I don't know why. Probably because I grew up with it. I watch Back to the Future all the time. Lately, I've been watching Blowout all the time. I think I would talk about that recently with John Travolta and Nancy Allen and John Lithgow. I love watching Die Hard. And that's something that I've now been watching over and over for going on almost 20 years, yeah. Which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. But obviously, there's something going on there. I'll give you two Michael Mann movies that are both on the Netflix Instant that I always fucking put on constantly. Thief, Michael Mann's first movie with James Caan. I'm always watching that shit. And his next movie, no, two movies after that, Manhunter, the first Hannibal Lecter movie with Brian Cox and William Peterson from one of them CSIs. Mm-hmm. I watch those two movies over and over and over. And speaking of Michael Mann, Heat. I watch Heat over and over. So that's six off the top of my head. How about you, Drew? What kind of movies are you watching all the time over and over and over?
I mean...
That you just find yourself like...
I'm definitely with you on the Die Hard thing. I can...
It's just a movie. It's just a movie, you
I
know?
Can watch that movie
just so all well
day,
made.
Every day. Makes no difference.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See what else. I mean, the middle three Star Wars movies.
4, 5, and 6?
Yeah.
Sure, I could watch... 4 and 5.
I could rewatch them all.
Return of the Jedi. I get bored with Jedi.
Whatever. The Ewoks are cute.
Yeah, they're too cute for me.
But that's
cool.
They're little wood hammers smash stuff.
That's cool that you like them. It's cool that you like them. It's just I'm with you on 4 and 5.
Okay.
For sure. For 2 of those 3, I'm with you.
I mean the original Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah, that's a good call. The first two.
Yeah, I cannot watch that Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It's freaking awful.
I haven't rewatched that one in a while.
It was on HBO a little while ago. It's bad.
The Last Crusade is okay. There are parts of it that are awesome and parts that bore me. But Raiders and Temple of Doom, yeah, those two for sure. 100%.
If they're on, I will watch it.
Yep, yep. You know, going comedies. Can I throw some comedies out there?
Probably.
Airplane. Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, yeah, definitely.
And
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles, Ooh. Young Frankenstein, just that trio of Mel Brooks movies right there. Airplane, I can watch over and over, and the first Naked Gun. Okay. Yeah. The other ones are okay. That first one's fucking dynamite. Dynamite!
Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite, yes.
Black Dynamite's awesome.
Love Black Dynamite. I can watch that over and over.
Also, for me personally, The Fountain and I Heart Huckabees.
Yes. Absolutely.
Those movies, I just turn them if they're on. Or
just put them on.
I'll just put them on and just be like, all right, 2 hours gone.
Just put them on. Just even if they're just in the background, it's yep. something that you can always look up and be like, ah, yes, this. So there you go. I think we both did more than a top five there.
Totally.
We appreciate it. I am Closet Geek. There you go. What else we got? Good guy.
From Jerry Makowski on Facebook.
What's up, Jerry? Jerry Seuss.
Question for the show.
Okay.
Why hasn't anyone remade any of the Star Wars movies?
Oh, well.
Who do you think should remake one of the 6 movies?
What you should? Well, why they haven't remade them? Because they're still making them. They're continuing them, yeah. You know, George Lucas had the rights for them for, obviously, since they were started. He maintained the rights to them. And then he just sold it to Disney. So now that Disney has it, you know. I don't know. I kind of see it more like James Bond, where they recently ran out of James Bond books.
Okay.
You know, the Ian Fleming books, they ran out pretty recently. Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, this new one coming out, Spectre. None of those are based on books because they officially have run out. Casino Royale was the third time they made that fucking book into a movie. But they're not going back. They're not necessarily remaking them. They keep pushing forward. I think the same thing is going to happen. With Star Wars, not only they're doing episode 7, 8, and 9, they got this Star Wars Rogue One that's coming out in the in between years.
Yeah.
They got these spinoff movies coming out. I think it's just one of those things where there'll never be a need to go back and remake A New Hope because they're already on like the newest hope thing. They're still
A newer hope.
Yes, exactly. They will make a newer hope before they make A New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think it's really more of not necessarily who should remake it, but who should be involved in making more. And I actually think Disney's doing it right.
I mean,
they're getting interesting filmmakers to make their movies.
Sight unseen, it seems like they're doing a good job.
I mean, right, J.J. Abrams looks like he knocked it out of the park. Yeah. So much so that now, after seeing the newest trailer, I can understand why Disney would want him to come back for episode 9.
Yeah.
Episode 8 is being developed by Rian Johnson, who's the guy who did Looper. And Brothers Bloom and Brick and a couple episodes of Breaking Bad. The guy's good.
Yeah, he's competent.
the people making those the spinoff movies. You got the guy who did Godzilla. He's making one of them Star Wars spinoffs. Who else? There's another one. I mean, they're finding some really interesting up and coming directors to do work. It's not like as opposed to finding directors that they can push around and make them do what they want to do. They're finding people that have their own voices and their own vision and are putting their own thing on it. You know, mm-hmm. Very interesting. I think it's very cool. So yeah, there you go. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
And also coming in on Twitter, Rage Against Twit has a Big Lebowski haiku review.
Nice. Rage Against Twit with the haiku reviews. Haiku review.
Review haiku.
The movie review haiku. Probably my favorite form of movie reviews. I love doing movie review haikus.
All right, here we go, Chris.
All right.
Just wants his rug fixed.
Just, yes.
All-star casting.
Mm-hmm.
White Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Plain fun and greatness.
Yeah. Can't argue with any of that. Big Lebowski is a classic. It is now.
It's a modern classic.
Came out in 98-ish. So it's coming up on 20 years now. Motherfucker. 2 decades of Big Lebowski.
Goddamn, I'm old.
Yes, you are, Drew. Yes, you are. So remember, you can email us your movie reviews, your questions, your topics at cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Tweet us at crespediso or hit us up on Facebook, cinemacrespediso. And we will we'll read that shit, yo. We'll get that out there. All right, I'm going to try to crank through. Speaking of crank, I'm going to try to crank through these Florida Film Festival movie reviews for you guys because I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 because I saw them in the movie today. 8 movies to talk about. And I will start with the one that I saw today. A movie that is called The Case of the Three-Sided Dream. Drew, this movie is about this fellow named Rahsaan Roland Kirk. He is a jazz musician from the 60s and 70s. A blind jazz musician. A bleeding Gums Murphy type.
Okay.
Okay. But what made him really special was he was kind of like a Daredevil.
Okay.
You know, like he had super hearing. Yeah. So he had a different understanding of sound than most people due to his blindness from, you know how this dude ended up being blind? It sucks, man. Born in the hospital, before he even gets sent home, a nurse puts like the wrong eye drops in his eyes, burns off his corneas.
Sweet.
Yeah. Not born blind. A nurse fucked it up.
Made blind.
Made blind by incompetence. But it's like it was meant to be because now this dude grows up loving music. He comes up with this crazy rig so that he can have like 2 or 3 saxophones hanging off of him at all times with flutes off to the side and shit and all these instruments around him. And he plays multiple instruments at once.
Okay.
And it's more than just a gimmick. Or, like, he's not like the guy with the guitar and then the drum to his back and the cymbal between his knees. He's not doing that shit, you know, and the harmonica, that cokey shit. Like, the stuff he's doing, playing the multiple types of saxophones and the way he's mixing up the melodies and the harmonies and shit, it's incredible. He really is, like, a full reed section, a full woodwind section by himself. And the movie is full of footage of him doing this. And people interviewing, being interviewed, talking about his style. And it, guys, it's just incredible. I don't know, understand why he's not more popular. More people don't know about him. They should. Hopefully this movie will, you know, get a decent audience. The type of thing that'll be on Netflix. The case of the three-sided dream.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I fully intend to find as much music from this guy as possible and get into it. Because he is good. Totally worth checking out. Rahsaan Roland Kirk. Case of Three-Sided Dream. Really enjoyed that movie. And then yesterday I saw another music documentary called Billy Mize and the Bakersfield Sound. That's the other song that I played during the Crespo disco break. And this is a case of this country dude, right? Who in the 60s, Bakersfield, California, more like in the 50s, was like Austin, Texas today.
Okay.
And that there was tons of clubs, tons of places for bands to break out. But it was a country music scene. And Buck Owens came from Bakersfield. Merle Haggard came from Bakersfield. A whole huge handful of very successful music artists came from Bakersfield, California, in country. And the difference between Bakersfield and Nashville is much more slick, more produced, more country-ish, I guess you can say, Bakersfield, they were mixing a little bit of rockabilly, a little bit of rock and roll. They were more experimental with the country sound.
Okay.
Right? So it made for more exciting music. The whole time, while all these people are getting super popular, there's this one guy called Billy Mize, M-I-Z-E, and he is like fucking, he is it, Drew. When they talk to Merle Haggard, they even talk to Willie Nelson for this movie. All these people they talk to, they're all like, oh yeah, Billy Mize, he was the best. He was the best. But no one knows who the fuck he is.
Interesting.
So the whole movie is about how this guy was awesome, how he had the looks, he had the sound, he had the charisma, everyone liked him. And the whole movie is like, how come this guy didn't become much more popular? He should be a household name along with all these other guys, with Waylon Jennings and all these people, you know? Because he helped all these other guys get their start. He pretty much helped Buck Owens get his start, and Buck Owens went on to become way more successful commercially than Billy Mize.
Yeah.
So the whole movie is about that. And they even offer an answer at the end, which is very compelling and makes sense. And the dude also has kind of a tragic story with his family and personal stuff. And it's a really, really good documentary. Billy Mize and the Bakersfield Sound. Definitely recommend checking that out whenever you get the chance. I saw two movies that were very similar to each other. One was called Homeless.
Okay.
And it's made by a dude from Florida, but it was made in North Carolina. And it's about a kid who's 18 years old. He was taking care of his grandmother. His grandmother dies. He has no place to go. Ends up on the street.
Okay.
The whole movie's about him being homeless and trying to not be homeless. Trying to get a job, save some money, you know. And where his family can't help him or won't help him, the strangers step up, you know. So it's like the kindness of strangers type of thing. But then when the strangers become more friendly, they become more susceptible to being dicks. It's a weird thing. It's an interesting movie. Very neorealism. It's really good. Definitely going to be on like Netflix or something down the road. Not this movie won't be a wide release or anything. But anyway, Homeless. That one's good. Then the other movie I saw that was kind of like that was this movie called Wild Like, where it was about a girl who she's like a teenager and her mom's going to rehab, drug rehab.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent her to her uncle in Alaska to stay with her uncle. But her uncle, who is her dead father's brother, is also a bit of a molesterer.
Nice.
So she tries to put up with it for a few days. She can't. Hightails it. She runs away, trying to get back to Seattle. And the whole it involves her getting through the wilderness of Alaska. Along the way, she meets Bruce Greenwood as a loner backpacker. Friendship ensues, etc., etc. It's actually a pretty damn good movie. Wild-like. Also kind of reminds me a little bit of that Reese Witherspoon movie, Wild.
Okay.
It's kind of like Wild. It's Wild-like. I saw a thriller, like a Hitchcock-type movie called Body, where it's about these three chicks that are all home from college.
Mm-hmm.
And this one chick, her name is Alexandra Turshen, T-U-R-S-H-E-N. I'm spelling it out so the dudes can go ahead and do a Google image search, because she is like the alpha female bad bitch of the three friends. But the whole time I was just thinking, like, this is this stunning, stunning woman.
Who is this?
Alexandra Turshen. T-U-R-S-H-E-N. It's her. She plays one of three friends. They get together. They go to this unused mansion where this family's on vacation. They're dicking around in the mansion. They're having a good time, drinking the booze and all this shit. And someone shows up that's not supposed to be there. There's an accidental death. And then the whole movie is about the three girls trying to figure out how they're going to get out of it, you know. And it's a very tense, very well-made movie. I like it quite a bit. I think it's very good. Kind of like if I had to rate it out of 10 stars, I go like 6.5, okay. 7. Definitely enjoyable, definitely watchable. It could have been better, but still good. And it's just called Body. People should check it out when they get a chance. Now, the movie that won the Audience Award and the Grand Jury Prize for Best Narrative Feature won both awards for Narrative Feature. It's a film called Imperial Dreams. That's the one with John Boyega. That's what I was telling you about.
Yeah.
The dude that's in Star Wars now, he was in Attack the Block. Mm-hmm. This movie is all about, it's a narrative film, obviously, not a documentary, but it might as well be because it's about a dude who, he gets out of prison, he goes back home to Watts, to the projects, and he has a kid. His baby mama just got herself in jail 3 weeks ago. Nice. So it's just like the drunken grandma and the gangbanger uncle. And he's trying to like get the kid out of the projects. And it's about how the whole system is rigged against you, you know, to try to get out. It's a fascinating, really well-made movie. I loved it. John Boyega's fantastic. And like I said, it won Audience Award and Grand Jury Prize Award at the Florida Film Festival 2015.
Nice.
I saw another movie called Uncle John. That one's okay. It's got the guy from Beverly Hills Cop that's not Eddie Murphy or Judge Reinhold or Ronnie Cox. And it's about a guy who he kills someone in the very beginning of the movie, and then he covers it up. And then the whole movie is about how this normal dude is on the murder. He's a murderer on the side, and he's trying to like not get caught. Meanwhile, there's a whole subplot about his grandson or his nephew or some shit, and the girl that he likes. I don't know. The subplot thing kind of threw the whole movie off, actually. Well, no, still not bad. Not a bad film. And then I saw a Swedish comedy called The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared.
Yeah, you told me about that.
That one's pretty good. It's about a guy who's kind of like a Swedish Forrest Gump. He hangs out with Stalin, Franco in Spain, Oppenheimer in the Manhattan Project. He accidentally helps them solve their atom bomb problem. Actually, he does it pretty purposely. It's like a more active Forrest Gump. It's pretty funny. It's good. I enjoyed it. 100-year-old man climbed out the window and disappeared. So you go. Florida Film Festival 2015 was pretty good stuff. If you want to read my reviews, get more descriptions of those movies, and see exactly what I saw, chriscrespo.com is the place to be. I think I asked you this before and I keep forgetting. Did you read Preacher? Are you a Preacher fan?
Not really.
Not really? You just haven't read it or you're not a fan?
Never really got into it.
But you know what it is, though?
I know of it.
Can you give me a quick description of it again real quick? What do you know of it?
It's... this dude, it's the Old West-ish. Right. There's it's revenge. Western of sorts.
Yeah.
The guy was a priest, is a priest. I don't know. There may or may not be supernatural forces.
I think there's
work.
Something supernatural involved, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're doing the AMC show.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, the those two guys, are developing it. And it's not going to be a comedy. They confirmed who their lead actor is going to be. The guy who's going to play Jesse Custer, who I guess is... the preacher. Sure. I'm sure he's the preacher. And it's going to be Dominic Cooper, the guy who was Howard Stark in Captain America.
Oh, okay.
And he was Saddam Hussein's kid in The Devil's Double. That guy. Who I actually like it quite a bit.
It's good.
I like that guy. So I'm looking forward to seeing the show with him as the lead guy.
Most definitely.
Dominic Cooper in Preacher. We talked about this in the past, X-Men Apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
The inclusion of the character Angel.
Yes.
And you asked, is it going to be...
Well, I mean, if you've got Apocalypse and you've got Angel and you've got the Four Horsemen, then you've got Archangel.
It's
got
to be Archangel, a bad guy.
Well, no, well, he is Angel until Apocalypse gets him, then turns him into a bad guy.
Gives him metal wings.
Metal wings, blue skin.
Blue skin. Bryan Singer tweeted out some concept photos of Angel for X-Men Apocalypse, confirmed that the actor Ben Hardy is going to be Angel. Here's a little glimpse there, Drew. It's metal wings.
Hey, look at that. It's Archangel.
So we're getting some Archangel action
for
your X-Men colon Apocalypse. Does that excite you? You're an X-Men fan.
I mean, it all depends. Once again, it all depends on how they go about presenting the story.
Oh, sure. They're going to try to get it all done in one movie, too. It's not going to be a multi-movie thing.
Yeah.
The whole Apocalypse thing will be done in one film. So, I actually appreciate that. But they're not going to spread it out over multiple...
Because
the Justice League movie, it's a two-parter. And Infinity Wars is a two-parter. So,
of course. Well, Infinity Wars has got to be a two-parter.
Does it have to be? It's a six comic book series, right? Six books? Six issues?
Yeah, but it spans throughout, like, different.
They cover a lot of ground in those six issues.
Well, I think because there's like stuff leading up to it in a bunch of the regular monthly series, and then they had their own Infinity Wars thing that they published as well. So, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it was the Marvel Universe for a couple months there.
Well, they're doing
escape it.
They're doing two movies, just in that one. Sticking with comic book movies, Wonder Woman was going to be directed by Michelle MacLaren, who gained some fame by doing some of the best episodes of Breaking Bad,
a
couple Game of Thrones episodes. She was going to do Wonder Woman, but she dropped out over creative differences. Apparently, Warner Brothers, they wanted a much more action-oriented film.
Okay.
And Michelle McLaren wanted to get a more character-driven film.
Okay.
And that's where they parted ways. And another prolific TV director, Patty Jenkins, has stepped up to do the Wonder Woman film. Because they had to hire someone quick because it's on schedule.
Okay.
When's it coming out? We have a date here. I think sometime in 2017, I think. June 23rd, 2017 is when this movie has to come out.
No matter what.
So they gotta get someone in there. Chalk this up to the list of movies Guillermo del Toro is developing and may or may not get made. That list gets longer every month, Drew. He's supposed to make it a Frankenstein movie. At the Mountains of Madness, that went away. It's so many movies. It's like, but he's hooking up with Disney.
Yep.
And he's making for Disney a new Haunted Mansion film.
Okay.
Did you ever see the Eddie Murphy one?
No.
No. I don't think many people saw that one. Nope. But Disney has had success with the Pirates of the Caribbean. They had success, a lot of success lately with a bunch of their movies. So now they got Guillermo del Toro developing their, what I imagine is going to be their family-friendly
horror movie,
horror film, which is going to be interesting to see after we get to see Crimson Peak, which is his big budget R-rated horror film, which is a haunted house movie. Kind of interesting.
Interesting.
We're going to see his R-rated haunted house movie and then a family haunted house movie from Guillermo del Toro. Starring in the lead of Guillermo del Toro's haunted house movie, Ryan Gosling.
What the hell is that picture I saw on the internet?
The picture of Ryan Gosling and Guillermo del Toro hanging out at Disneyland?
Yeah.
Apparently, Gosling loves Disneyland. He's seen there all the time with people like him and Eva Mendes. Dated when they were dating, they went there a bunch of times. Him and Del Toro were hanging out one day. And it was probably, presumably, in connection to this project. And they went to Disney. The picture was them riding on the cars, go-kart thing. They went on the Haunted Mansion shit and all that stuff. So, and then real quick here, I want to point out that Furious 7,
uh-huh,
which we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
This weekend, mm-hmm, it grossed the $1 billion mark worldwide. Makes it the fastest film ever to make $1 billion.
Get it?
I do get it. It made $1 billion fast and furiously, if you can. It did it in just 19 days?
Got it.
No, 17 days. Yes. Before that, Avatar in 2009 made $1 billion in 19 days. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 and Avengers also made $1 billion in 19 days. Furious 7 did it in just 17 days. And that record is likely to be broken in 2 weeks by Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Which will probably make $1 billion in like 4 hours or something stupid like that. The nerds will find a way to... Can I buy 5 weeks worth of tickets in advance, please? Can I, please? All right.
Before we end the show,
as I said earlier, we're bringing back the occasional segment that is Chris Reads Things Off the Internet.
Hooray!
Got the theme song. All right, enough of that.
Chris reads things from the internet. Chris reads things from the internet.
Since the 90s, since the late 90s, I've been reading this guy, Sean Baby. A ridiculous name, but he is hysterical.
Okay.
He focuses a lot on action movies. Actually, I stumbled across his original website, which is like a GeoCities website. I stumbled across it looking for Bloodsport-related stuff. And he had this huge entry on Bloodsport. Another one on El Mariachi and Desperado. And I was like, this is my kind of guy. I've been reading him ever since. He does now suffer Electronic Gaming Monthly, Cracked, all sorts of stuff. Good stuff. SeanBaby.com is his Twitter handle. And a few days ago, he tweeted this. And I just had to, as soon as I read it, I was like, I have to read this on the show because it's fantastic. He writes, Dear at JCVD Online, that's the official Jean-Claude Van Damme Twitter.
Okay.
I've written a sequel I want you to have. And since your manager won't return my calls, I spread it out over 47 tweets. I'm tweeting it in reverse so they appear in my feed chronologically, which shouldn't matter since it's a sequel to Time Cop.
Oh.
Okay. So going to the beginning. Here we go. Right. Okay, here we go. This is how his Time Cop sequel begins. And every time he says you, he's talking directly to Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You growl, pouring beer over cereal as if to say, I'm a hungover cop. The beer is from 1217 because you're a hungover time cop. You gaze at a first place splits trophy on your mantle. Has it been that long, old friend? Saxophone music is the only response. Mere minutes into your gaze, a hologram interrupts. Time cop, shouts Bruce McGill. He is in the Old West. Only robots. I'm not that gay anymore, you respond. You turn your back to him, revealing your fully nude and chiseled buttocks. The camera lingers. Whatever urgency Bruce McGill had is now gone in this perfect moment. Who are you? No, who you are don't matter now. There's nobody else left. Aye! And those are Bruce McGill's last words. Time lasered. Carefully avoiding your naked penis, the camera pushes in on your face. There's no way to describe it other than, oh fuck. Music explodes. It's Time for Cop by Baja Men, featuring Partners in Crime, an original song written for the film's soundtrack. You enter an abandoned Time Cop car launching hangar. The ghosts of the past, question mark, haunt you as you flip dusty switches. A voice from the shadows. Careful, my friend, that's no coffee maker. The voice belongs to a second Jean-Claude Van Damme? You look like Hamwood Sheets, you say to yourself, despite the clear and obvious handsomeness you share. Careful with that sweet talk. If we kiss, we both implode into the time goo, you respond, subtly explaining the rules to viewers. Matuzak's dead. They're all dead, says the you wearing a shirt. You punch through a console. Over before it's even begun. Well then, it's lucky we got a time machine, says a fucking third Jean-Claude Van Damme. Holy shit, yes. All three yous silently smirk and nod at each other, generously allowing for the applause to die down in theaters. Finally, unable to resist, two of you lock palms in celebration, forming an indescribable blob that erases itself from time, parentheses CGI. A new you enters, saying, I thought playing with yourself only made you go blind. Ad-lib 30-ish variations for the DVD features. Looks like I landed one hell of a story. Who's a female reporter clicking in on high heels. The two yous pay her no attention. You are strapped in the time car launcher, the other you at the controls. See you in hell! Time car rockets ignite. Your car explodes through time, but what's this? The lady reporter is clinging to the back, her perfect breast jiggling. You open your eyes. A kickboxing ring? But on any space or time, no one is surprised, including you. Let's do this shit. Robo you, a humanish beast, uses earth karate to hit you while the undefeated champion, Robo you, looks on. I sent us to the wrong timeline, cries the female reporter as she is kidnapped into the camera, but I had to get my story. I'm sorry, chirps Space Dad as he smashes your face with spin punches. I need to win the tournament to save my daughter. Space Dad's familiar story ends quickly with those familiar words, slow motion helicopter kick. The reporter's kidnapper explains, Kubote winner allow one time wish. Your champion must knows when. He meant not. The next 50 minutes is you beating the shit out of things in space.
Nice.
You've been training your whole life for this. I love you. The reporter enters your dressing room. If you don't throw the final fight, I'll die. Who, you ask as you enter her. It doesn't matter, is her apparent response as she rides and moans in rhythm with your pleasure. She is a terrible journalist. Robo, you burst in and you toss the reporter aside. The Kubite finals are about to take place right here on the space streets. You take punches as the nude actress tries to seem afraid. If you had any reason to care, her screams would be distracting. RoboU is too fast, too strong. What good are heart and karate against war machines of the future? No, wait, no, fuck that. You drop into the splits, punching off his codpiece. The revealed ass is unmistakable. RoboU was another you this whole time. Wait, that means you touch the second you. The same matter can't occupy the same space. You glorp into nothingness begins. A slow instrumental version of It's Time for Cop by Baja Men featuring Partners in Crime plays. This is surely it for both yous. My story being erased from time, shrieks reporter. Due to an ugly breakup with the DP, she is now a different actress. The sexy reporter is knocked away as Bruce McGill drives out of a portal. Someone in the future order a fucking pizza. That's what he screams. Bruce's time cop car blasts into your merging forms. Liquid Robo U splatters against the ruined battlescape. Got here just in time. Buttons Bruce McGill as he slumps over a steering wheel. The camera pans to your puddle. The puddle starts to twitch. It's no goddamn way it's reforming in the shape of Jean-Claude Van Damme. It worked. You picked up the dead woman's tape recorder and studied it. Time itself would collapse if we got if it ever got out what happened here today. You gaze at the reporter's beautiful form, now played by an actress who isn't suing a DP for sexual harassment. With a thoughtful smile, you crush her tape recorder in your powerful buttocks, for your hands are still quick silvery flippers. It is absolutely not what she had wanted. You look into the viewer as music starts. Forever isn't too long to find you. The love theme, The Time Cop by Mr. Mister. Credits roll. Every name, Jean-Claude Van Damme. After suitable reflection, the rises. God, they are all you too. Look upon this madness. Has it always been that we are each Jean-Claude Van Damme? What have you done, Time Cop?
Weird.
The end. So there you go. That was my reading of The Time Cop 2 sequel treatment from Sean Baby, as put on Twitter. Hope you enjoyed that dramatic reading by me, Chris Crespo. You like that? No? Okay. Well, Drew?
Yeah, Chris.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I'm considering leaving even more now.
Why? Where are you going? Where are you going, buddy? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go?
Anywhere but here.
I don't know. I don't know why. Looks like it's about to rain outside. You rather go out there?
I think it's already raining.
Well, that's your Crespo weather report update. It's already raining. Hope that helps you out.
At whatever point in time you may be listening to this.
As you listen to the end of the show. That was episode 119. We'll be back episode 120 next week. Thank you very much, Drewster Cogburns.
You're welcome.
Happy Synchronious 419 Day to you too.
Sounds awful.
All right. We'll be back next week, guys. Remember to support R-rated movies. Do not put your money in the banks. They will rob you. And help a homeless person today.